6:14. You should not regret the life you live if you live your life for Jesus. What an appropriate song for our lesson tonight, that you should not regret. Our text in Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57, Luke records an incident that Jesus had with three men. It came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at the home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I tell you tonight, these three men will regret they did not follow Jesus. But we will not regret that we follow him. in Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus gives us those important words. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now when we put Christ first, then we have nothing to regret in our life. If we follow him and do not look back at the things that we have repented of, the things that he has forgiven and says he no longer remembers, then why would we regret those things? For we should not regret sharing brotherly love in the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says to be kind, to be loving, to edify one another. It says, let no corruption, communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now who would regret being kind to one another? Who would regret being tender-hearted and forgiving? Who could not be a better person if we put aside bitterness and anger and evil and malice that we constantly stumble over in life? But Titus writes in Titus 3 and verse 8 that even the devil knows the strength and the power of good works. He fights against them. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now it's hard to regret doing good. It's hard to regret receiving good. But here Titus says to maintain, or to continue in good works. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, Paul tells us that true love is kind. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up. For true love is everlasting, seeketh not its own, but seeketh the good of others. So why would we regret developing that love which Christ had for us? 2 Peter 1 and verse 7, as we grow as Christians, Peter says, add brotherly kindness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now this takes time. It's often harder for some than others, but yet it is something that we progressively do, that we strive to do. Because it is hard does not mean that we should not strive to do it. And brotherly kindness often comes with a price, for we have to put aside our own pride and our own selfishness that we might be kind to others. But secondly, you should never regret taking time for your family in the Lord. I'm not saying forsaking the assembly with your family, as the scripture says that some were forsaking the assembly, but yet taking time in the Lord to be with family. Even Jesus took time to be with his disciples. He took time aside from the multitude. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children have a responsibility to their parents, that they might do right in God's sight. For he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Certainly, you will not regret honoring and obeying your parents. Sometimes it seems difficult and it's hard in young lives sometimes, but one day you will thank them and you'll thank God for them. For many look back and they regret that they did not honor their parents when they were living. But yet never regret that you have obeyed the Lord in honoring them and cherishing them. Ephesians 4 and verse 6, or 4, it says, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers have a responsibility to God with their children. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is to nourish as with food. We know that Paul meant that we should go further than just feeding them. We should teach them both knowledge and spiritual matters. Nurturing our grandchildren, as we may need to do, even our great-grandchildren, that they might know the Lord, that they might be strengthened. Colossians 3 and verse 21, he says the responsibility to teach and encourage them is on the father. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So fathers have a responsibility. What Christian father would discourage their child in the Lord? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So fathers must provide for the family, both physically and spiritually. We should not regret the time that we take to be with our children and to be with our families. For a father never regrets that he taught his children about God and about Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands have responsibility to their wives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what man with a loving Christian wife would regret her love? Some have loved and not been loved in return. That's difficult. But even then, it's hard to regret that you truly loved that person. You did your part. And you have nothing to regret in doing that. For if you're honest and sincere, God understands that, even when it's difficult. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, wives also have a responsibility. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Yes, sometimes wives, Christian wives, and Christian husbands are the only hope that their spouse has. For they refuse to hear the word, but yet through their life they can see Christ and can still desire to be obedient unto the Lord. But if a husband or a wife that is supposed to be a Christian acts like the devil, then what do they see in that person? What influence do we have if we do not show them Christ? 1 Peter 3 and verse 5, a wife not only adorns herself, but she respects him as the head of the family. If your wife does not respect you, then something wrong. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Yes, Sarah called him Lord. But why? 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Why was Sarah submissive to Abraham? Because Abraham obeyed God. And Sarah obeyed God also. He honored her with respect and love. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Yes, a husband is to also honor his wife as a weaker vessel, as his loved and cherished wife. For a wife will never regret that she had a loving husband. And a husband will certainly never regret that he has honored his wife, that she might be cherished before him and before God. For Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. That is the love that a husband is to have for his wife. Their children, as well as others, will wish that they had a marriage like theirs. They will look unto us for an example. I was honored at Fried Hardeman. One of the lessons was on husbands loving your wives. And one of the speakers made the comment, how many men treat their wives as they did when they were dating? Because we know that when we're dating, we're always on our best behavior, and we go out of our way to impress them and to do things that they would enjoy and like. And he said, who could raise their hand? And, well, I wanted to raise my hand, but I didn't want to stand out in the crowd. Vicki nudged me with her elbow and said, go ahead, raise your hand. That was greater than raising my hand. I heard a comment to me that she felt that I treated her as we did when we were dating. It is important that in a marriage that it grows closer and not further apart. For sadly, in our society, that many divorces occur after the children have left home. And a husband and a wife find out they have nothing in common. They do nothing together. Children was all that they stayed together for, and now they're gone. Sadly, even in the church, it happens. A wife once told her husband, said, you know, when we were dating, we sat next to each other. In fact, I was almost in your lap. He looked at the steering wheel and said, I never moved. Remember sometimes that that which we do is not so great as it is important to the one that we do it for. But we should never regret that we reverence God. Sometimes we may even question ourselves, is it worthwhile? I received a bulletin today from the local program that helps with those who are depressed and those who are in need of care. And it's surprising that so many people are actually depressed in life. And on the front cover, it listed a lot of famous people who had suffered from depression. And you probably know people who are depressed in this life. But yet, we should not be depressed because we cannot do all that we wished we could do for the Lord. For he expects us to do what we can. That's what he asks. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, God's fear, godly fear, is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. How many in society today do you know that despises wisdom and instruction? They fight against instruction and wise who would tell them what they have already endured, that they might learn from their wisdom. But yet we do not continue, we do not cease to teach. We do not cease to share our wisdom with those who may not want to hear it. For a wise person knows that they learn from the wise by following directions and examples. For you listen, you watch, and you learn. A new show that's coming on television, which I've seen a couple previews of, is where the boss goes undercover on the job to see what's actually taking place. I really liked the one the other night on Hooters. I've never been to Hooters, I'll get that up straight. I teased my wife. She said, "Where would you like to go eat?" I said, "Well, Hooters has good wings." But I've never tried them. But the boss went undercover, and one of the businesses that he went to, the manager actually had a contest of bean eating off of the plate with no hands to determine who went home in the afternoon. And if you won, you got to go home. And of course, some of the girls were complaining because they were going to college and they had classes in the afternoon and they had already worked out their schedule that they would go home in the afternoon when it was slow. But you had to win the bean eating contest. And the CEO said, "If it was not against the rules, I would have fired the man on the spot." But he didn't do that. He watched in horror as these girls tried to eat beans off of a plate flat on the table, so that they may go home in the afternoon. Well, later on in the show, he reprimanded the man, of course, because that was not one of their ways of promoting employment. And he gave the man a second chance, and it says the man changed his tactics because he had a very successful franchise, and it was going well, but that was not the way they wanted their employees to be exploited. Although they didn't look at the other exploitation, but yet sometimes what happens behind the scenes are not what God would have us to do. But yet if we're obedient unto God, we have nothing to regret. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Find favor and trust in knowledge in God. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." If God is directing our paths, we have nothing to regret. We may be disappointed in ourselves sometimes, but yet, that's not because we're not doing God's will. For what roofer would not check the weather before tearing off your roof? And if he didn't, would you hire him back or recommend him? What farmer would plant his crops out of season and expect them to grow? For only a fool says there is no God. What Christian would not ask God's direction from his word, the Bible, and proceeding in life? Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, Solomon says, it's summed up in two things. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Godly respect and obedience pleases God. Not our will, but his. Not our ideas, but his plan. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus plainly said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, Lord, but which one? It's plural. My commandments. It's not that we pick and choose. It's that we love him enough to obey. For Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record what Matthew writes in chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, if we love God first, with all of our being, then we have nothing to regret. Yes, we may have had mistakes in our life, and if we could do it over, we would change. But yet, if we have repented of those, God has forgiven us, and they are wiped out. James 1 and verse 12, James says, Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now that takes us back to John 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, If you love me, keep my commandments. So who are those that will receive the crown of life that love him? Those that keep his commandments. He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You should never regret that you have reverenced and obeyed God. For one day, a place in heaven will be given unto you. And we should never regret that we have shared brotherly love with one another in this life. For one day, a place in heaven will be given. And we should never regret that we have taken time for our family in the Lord. One day, heaven will be your home. But you will regret if you disobey God. For you will be lost eternally forever with the devil and his angels. Why? Because you have not loved God enough to obey him. For if we obey God, then all of these things will be taken care of. Our love for each other will grow. Our love for our family will grow. Yes, our love for God will grow. You will regret that if you hate your brother, do not make it right, because he says that you will be lost. And we will certainly regret if we neglect our family. We provide not for our own. Far more than just the material things, but the spiritual things of life. And our greatest accomplishment might be being the example that we can be today, that they might see Christ, that they might know that there is a better life than what we once had. For them to see Christ, yes, you can be lost for neglecting any of these things. But yet you will never regret if you're obedient unto God. For God is our hope. Christ is our salvation. But tonight, are you a Christian? That's your only hope. To be in Christ, obedient to his will. For unto them, crown is promised to the faithful who are in Christ Jesus. But baby, tonight you're a Christian. You know that you've not lived as you should. God waits for you to come home. He waits for you to return. He waits for you to show that love which is commanded through our obedience to God. What's your need tonight? Don't regret that you have passed up the invitation to come to Jesus. Will you come as we stand and sing?
Christ, Christ.